This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. On Tuesday's program, we heard from climatologist Dr. Tim Ball, who explained why the so-called cap-and-trade system to combat global warming is nothing more than a glorified energy tax on all of the American people. Now, in the second half of our conversation, Dr. Ball and I discuss why climate change activists have targeted carbon dioxide and their contention that colder winters are actually evidence of global warming. Dr. Ball, our regular listeners will know that you've been on our show many times, and you've explained in your previous appearances that, first of all, CO2 levels don't impact the temperature change. They actually are usually impacted by the temperatures in the other direction. And also that, if anything, our CO2 levels are a little bit low right now. You've also pointed out that the climate change panel at the UN was basically led to reach a certain conclusion about CO2. But in the beginning, why was CO2 the target of this whole movement? Why did they pick that particular part of the atmosphere?
Well, Greg, that's the question that that needs to be asked, and is one that I've been addressing for some time. Why CO2? Why pick one very small little, I mean, it's almost like taking your body and finding one little wart and say, well, we're going to concentrate on that. If we can deal with that wart, we'll make Greg healthy forever. And that's what CO2 is, such a minuscule part of the total climate system. The answer to your question comes from Maurice Strong, who's been involved with George Soros and so on, what the British call champagne socialists, that made money off the system and then decide that their ethics and morality is how we got to live. And Maurice Strong said back in 1992, said that the problem for the planet are the industrialized nations, and isn't it our responsibility to get rid of them? Well, the question you have to ask yourself is, how would you do that? With regard to the industrialized nations, of course, you need to think about them just like an engine in your vehicle. It's the driving force. You could stop the energy flow by squeezing the fuel line, whatever you want to do, to that engine. The engine will quit. But if you did that in a society, an industrialized society, the public would scream right away. And we saw that with increase of gas prices. The public are on it right away. So that option's not there. But if you can show that the byproduct of your engine coming out of the exhaust, CO2, is causing catastrophic climate change, then you effectively can shut down the engine. And people that work with engines know, if you plug the exhaust of the engine will stop. And, of course, that's what they set out to do. So Maurice Strong set up the United Nations Environment Program, out of which came the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, which is now presented as the authority by Obama and all the governments around the world, and wrote the rules so that they only look at human-caused climate change. They do not even consider natural climate change. And the focus then within that is, of course, on greenhouse gases. But notice even there, they ignore water vapor, or virtually ignore water vapor, which is by far the most important greenhouse gas, and have focused only on CO2. And they focus not only have they only focused on CO2, but they've only focused on the human portion of it, which is minuscule compared to the natural sources of CO2 in the atmosphere. So that's why CO2 became the target and continues to be the target, completely unnecessarily, because as you mentioned in your preamble, the temperature changes before the CO2, not as they assume that if CO2 increases, the temperature will go up. There is no record anywhere at any time of any duration in which CO2 increase has caused temperature increase. And yet that's built into their computer models, and it's the fundamental assumption of all of this policy that Obama and the rest of the world is pushing.
Dr. Ball, you mentioned a little while ago in our conversation that the language has changed as the facts don't support the case of the climate change alarmists. Just how short of a clock are they running on, given the fact that it seems like the cyclical climate data shows that we're now cooling back from our peaks from the late 90s? So how short of a window do they have to try and implement their agenda here?
Well, of course, one could be very cynical about it and say that their window is 4 years. That is the span of the first year of office of President Obama. because if his economic policy fails, and then as we expect, as you say, the climate continues to cool, it's all over. He'll be a one-term president. And so they've got 4 years, and they know that. They started ramping this up. You see James Hansen out there making his outrageous statements and appearing, by the way, as a public servant in a public rally against coal industry. And so I think they've got the 4 years. One of the things that's happening, of course, Greg, is that with this winter, with the cold weather and the early snows and the late snows, even the people that don't understand the science of it understand the illogic when they say, oh, well, this cooling is caused by warming. I mean, that illogic, as I said, makes everybody stop and say, hang on a minute. Just a little time out here. And so what that will continue. As the events continue to unfold, they will have to become increasingly extremist in their statements and, of course, increasingly ridiculous in their statements until the public just say, look, I don't really understand this, but this is rubbish. This is nonsense.
Last 60 seconds here, Dr. Ball, you mentioned it in passing, but if you can kind of summarize against the argument that you mentioned, when we see major cold snaps in the winter, climate change advocates who say that it's a major problem that needs to be addressed, they say that the Earth has a fever, so therefore it needs to overcompensate in the winter to cool itself down. Why is that flawed?
Well, I mean, that's absolute nonsense. That's as silly as Gore's statement in his movie about, you know, the Earth is like the Goldilocks and the bears, you know, that it's not too hot and not too cold, it's just right. Well, for who? And for when? I mean, would he have said that back 20,000 years ago when the Earth was gripped in a massive ice age? I mean, it's nonsense to argue that there's some sort of optimum or ideal temperature or condition, and religious in its comment that, oh well, you know, we've had warm conditions and we've got to pay for it with cold. That is so unscientific and silly that it doesn't even bear discussing. And as I said, Gore's thing about Goldilocks shows how little he knows.
Dr. Ball, unfortunately, our time is up. As always, sir, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you kindly, Greg, for the opportunity.
And Dr. Tim Ball is a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. This is Dateline Washington.